Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Health Matters, a program for those who are sick and in need of a physician of body and soul. Welcome back to Health Matters. I am your host, Juliana Krieger, and in this show, we look at the psychological, social, and spiritual implications that illnesses have on patient and family. To start with, we will speak to Dr. Andrew Nicholson about the practical and more physical implications. In the second part, we will go to Pastor Lynn Hansen, who considers the spiritual struggles that chronic and terminal patients face. Overall, both doctor and pastor want to give guidance and comfort to the burdened and weary soul and to remind them that God is for them and with them, whatever comes their way. We welcome back Dr. Andrew to discuss fibroids with us. Dr. Andrew, can you explain to us what fibroids are?
Fibroids are very common benign tumours of the smooth muscle of the uterus with a thin capsule over them. They start originally as single seeds within the muscle of the uterus, and as the ebb and flow of hormones occur within a woman's cycle, these gradually increase very slowly over many years. Sometimes the central area doesn't get enough blood supply, and it can undergo necrosis and calcification. You can see this on an X-ray. They quite often are classified as to where they are. In the general, they tend to be within the muscle of the uterus, but sometimes they do present as tumours coming from the inside of the uterus and may be expelled through the cervix. And also sometimes they bulge from the surface of the uterus out into the pelvic cavity and sometimes into the cervix itself. Most fibroids cause no problems because they are so common that probably at least a quarter of womankind has a degree of fibroids in their uterus. The likelihood of cancerous change in a uterine fibroid is very low indeed. And in fact, it isn't as if leaving them there increases the risk of cancerous change. But we do know that very rarely some fibroids are a variety of cancer called a sarcoma. But this is, I must emphasize, is incredibly rare. Uterine fibroids are the most common tumors of women of childbearing age. They're the single most common cause of hysterectomy, which is removal of the uterus, and they're clinically apparent in 25% of women. They're more common in women who are, how can we put it politely, of a higher body mass index, and in non-smokers, and they're more common, three times more common in the people of the Negro race than in white people. In fact, an Asian women have a lower incidence of uterine fibroids. Normally, the time that people will notice they have these tumours is in their 30s and 40s when they start developing symptoms. The vast majority, as I said, don't actually have symptoms, but the ones that are to the fore are primarily excessive or prolonged heavy periods, leading to perhaps anemia, sometimes exhaustion. Sometimes fibroids will cause menorrhagia, which is a period that is sudden and very violent. Sometimes people get dysmenorrhea, which is painful periods, and dyspareunia, which is in fact pain during intercourse when the fibroid, which may be pedunculated or dangling, may be hit during that act. Sometimes people present with recurrent miscarriage or infertility, and the diagnosis is usually made based on the history and the examination. Normally one would feel an abdominal mass arising from the pelvis, or sometimes examining the patient via the vagina, you can actually feel the uterus being much larger than it should be. Sometimes we have to think about, although that this is common, that we need to think about other alternatives. There is something called dysfunctional uterine bleeding, which is where the lady has essentially an organically normal set of reproductive organs, but she still bleeds very heavily, and this is assumed to be a variety of hormonal imbalance. There are other more rare causes, something called endometriosis, where the lining of the womb does not stay where it should be or fall out through the normal, in the normal way, but migrates into the pelvis or the abdomen and causes chocolate cysts. Sometimes chronic inflammatory pelvic disease can be confused with it, and rarely there's such things as ovarian cancers and uterine cancers. And of course, sneaky, because things can be sneaky, we have to still think about pregnancy as a cause of a mass rising from the pelvis.
Is the removal of these fibroids the only solution for getting rid of the pain? And what are the implications, if they are manageable, to just leave them there?
If it's not broken, don't mend it. In fact, the lady has not got any significant symptoms from these, then, and she's approaching her menopause, then there's quite a reasonable answer is to leave things alone and just perhaps repeat one or two investigations. The typical investigations would be to check that she's not become anemic, and do an ultrasound to just check the size of the uterine fibroids, and so that this can be repeated in a year or two's time, just to check all is well. People who've got, who don't seem to be easily managed can be referred to consultants who can have further, more sophisticated investigations. Treatment is quite easy. Pain relief, using such drugs as mefenamic acid or ibuprofen. Using drugs to stop the amount of blood they lose can be very useful. There's a drug called tranexamic acid, which reduces menorrhagia. The contraceptive pill can be used. There are other drugs, such as danazol, that affects ovarian function. And rarely you can use injections of a drug that actually gives the woman a brief menopause for three or four months, and allows the uterine fibroids to shrink down significantly. However, they tend to reoccur once the injections are stopped.
But then there are long-term side effects having just palliative care. What might those be?
In this country, we tend not to do myomectomies. A myomectomy means removal of the fibroid itself. A lot of it is because it's quite a difficult operation to do. Quite often there's a risk of excessive bleeding, and will tend to be only used for somebody who suspects that her ability to get pregnant is being reduced by the fact that she has significant fibroids. But the success rate is not good, and there's an increased risk of a recurrence rate of up to 5% afterwards. So we tend not to to provide myomectomies in this country. However, other countries may take a different view. Removal of the fibroids themselves, if there's a fibroid extruding itself through the cervical os, you can easily remove it by twisting it and sending it away to have it looked at under the microscope. You can provide a total hysterectomy. This is the treatment for many years in this country, and it seems to be very effective because, of course, having removed the uterus, then the lady can no longer bleed from it. However, this country has now realised that probably we're doing far too many. And so we're trying to use other techniques. If indeed the major problem is vaginal bleeding, then the insertion of a hormone-containing coil done expertly can significantly reduce the amount of blood that is lost. And as often these ladies are very close to their menopause, this enables them to get to that area easily. There are other more unusual ways of doing things, such as uterine artery embolization, and these are quite rare. The doctor's job is to enable the lady to get to the menopause well and to get through it without any problems. If she can do so without having a hysterectomy, this is now seen as being the best option in this country, because there's a morbidity and mortality associated to hysterectomy, ranging from the very simple one of having severe problems with the bladder after a hysterectomy, to of course actually death because of the operation. So it's something we're trying to avoid.
If one of our listeners suspects that she might have fibroids, what do you suggest she should do?
She, of course, should see her GP, her family doctor, and see him or her with a view to having a baseline set of investigations done. This involves a good history, a physical examination to confirm or deny the size of any fibroids that are there, and then to have simple tests such as a blood test to see if they're anemic, also, of course, perhaps a pregnancy test, a pelvic ultrasound to confirm the size of the fibroids is quite useful. The more sophisticated investigations such as MRI are not used usually in this context. Sometimes it's important, though, to take a sample of the inside of the womb to confirm that there is nothing untoward happening to that organ. And that is in general done by consultants, and some people will need referral for that. At the risk of sounding like a male chauvinist doctor, if it's not broken, don't mend it. If indeed you have a small amount of fibroids, just enable yourself to be managed by your GP to keep an eye on things. And providing all is well, let's hope that you get to your menopause with a smile on your face.
Thank you. Let's have a break, but stay with us as we welcome back Pastor Lynn Hansen after these messages.
If you like what you're listening to, then let your contacts know about Lutheran Radio UK. Use the spread the word function on our website, lutheranradio.co.uk, and tell your friends on Facebook and Twitter. Alternatively, you can write the emails of your contacts in the Tell a Friend field at the bottom of our main page, and we'll send them a personalized invitation to listen. Help us to proclaim the good news of Christ by telling others about Lutheran Radio UK. And don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter, and we will keep you right up to date about our programs.
Let's find out why people go to Bible studies.
They really help me to understand what the passage is all about.
To understand all that the passages mean.
Being with other people and discussing various verses.
Because it gives me a chance to get deeper into God's Word and to think out what I really believe.
Pastor, why are Bible studies important?
Bible study is so important because we go to God's Word because He speaks to us through it.
Through the study of the Bible, God provides comfort and guidance for life. Go to Lutheran.co.uk to find the Lutheran church that is closest to you and join your local Lutheran Bible study group.
Bible study, great food, great fellowship, and you even get to learn a little bit about God.
Faith that functions. An in-depth look at the Word of God with Pastor Gordon Naumann.
I take the text, as I do each week on Sunday, and delve into the richness of its meaning, what it meant for the audience of the time, who Jesus was speaking to, and what it means for us today. Because surprise, surprise, Jesus is still speaking to you and me through Scripture.
Every Wednesday on Lutheran Radio UK. Go to our website for times and podcasts.
This is Lutheran Radio UK, all about Christ and to all God's people. We're back with Health Matters. Let's turn to Pastor Lynn Hansen to share his experience in the spiritual care of people affected by fibroids.
Greetings in the name of our risen, living Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, who intercedes for us until the day of our resurrection. Let us begin with prayer. God, our Father in heaven, Creator of all things, your Son, our Savior, Jesus the Messiah, while on earth, healed all manner of spiritual, physical, and mental afflictions. Mercifully help all who suffer in body and soul. If it be thy will, free them from their affliction, that restored to health, they may with a thankful heart bless your holy name. We pray through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. As a hospital chaplain, I visit many people afflicted with either disease, mental illness, or some physical malfunction. Just the other day, I walked into a room where a young woman sat on the edge of the hospital bed. Diana shared with me her medical issues. The history of her present condition was quite long. She visited and was treated by many doctors. Unfortunately, after each procedure, another complication developed. This forced her to visit yet another surgeon and undergo yet another surgery. She expressed frustration over suffering one complication after another, plus never really recovering from the previous issue. As we talked, I asked her how she kept a smile on her face. She replied, "It is only by God's grace that I am here and that I am able to continue on. He supports me in this life. I may not be perfectly healthy, but I know God watches over me." As I listened to Diana's personal history, I thought of Jesus' healing a woman afflicted by a flow of blood for 12 years. Let us turn in our Bibles to the New Testament book of Luke. Hear now the Word of God, as recorded by St. Luke in the 8th chapter of his Gospel, beginning at verse 40. "Now when Jesus returned, the crowd welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And there came a man named Jairus, who was a ruler of the synagogue. And falling at Jesus' feet, he implored him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying. As Jesus went, the people pressed around him. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. And though she had spent all her living on physicians, she could not be healed by anyone. She came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment, and immediately her discharge of blood ceased. And Jesus said, 'Who was it that touched me?' When all denied it, Peter said, 'Master, the crowds surround you and are pressed in on you.' But Jesus said, 'Someone touched me, for I perceive that power has gone out from me.' And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him, declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace.' While he was still speaking, someone from the ruler's house came and said, 'Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher anymore.' But Jesus, on hearing this, answered him, 'Do not fear, only believe, and she will be well.' And when he came to the house, he allowed no one to enter with him except Peter and John and James and the father and mother of the child. And all were weeping and mourning for her. But he said, 'Do not weep, for she is not dead, but sleeping.' And they laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But taking her by the hand, he called, saying, 'Child, arise.' And her spirit returned, and she got up at once. And he directed that something should be given her to eat. And her parents were amazed, but he charged them to tell no one what had happened." This is the Gospel of our Lord. By the grace of God, Jairus found Jesus and was able to talk to him. Now Jairus had to lead Jesus through the crushing crowds to his house. The Gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, told us the crowd pressed against Jesus, making progress very slow. Then Jesus felt someone touch his garment. It was a woman with a bleeding problem. Compassionate Jesus took time to stop and heal her. The woman reached out in faith, thinking that if she just touched Jesus' cloak, she would be healed. Evidently, she heard of Jesus. In faith, she sought him out. Filled with compassionate love for an afflicted person, Jesus healed her too. To all of you listening today, this is your great hope, and this is why you are here. In spite of all the hardships you faced, in spite of all the prayers that seemed to go unanswered, in spite of the ridicule and scorn and bitter laughter of the world, you are here because Jesus of Nazareth died to redeem you from sin, Satan, and eternal death. Jesus did just that, plus he rose from the dead. Jesus, the first fruit of the resurrection, comes to us to give us these gifts, gifts of redemption from sin, life now, and life eternal with him. No God is going to promise to heal us from every affliction. No, we won't live a life without trouble or medical issues of some type. But we do live life knowing that God loves us, that God will never leave us nor forsake us, and that nobody can snatch us away from him. God promises to care for us now and forevermore. Amen. Let us pray. O most gracious Jesus, We thank you that receiving the penalty of our sin, you willingly underwent hunger, thirst, cold, exhaustion, ridicule, persecution, sorrow, poverty, imprisonment, scourging, the piercing of thorns, and even a bitter death on the cross. How great is the fire of your love that persuaded you to plunge willingly into the sea of that suffering for miserable and ungrateful humanity. Thank you for your love that never ends. Thank you for hearing our pleas for your mercy. Support and sustain our faith. Forgive us our sins. And if it be thy will, heal us from all affliction. Amen. May I suggest to you that if you don't have a church home, to contact Lutheran Radio UK or the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England for help in finding one. Belonging to the body of believers is a tremendous support. Also, this week, take time to read the New Testament book of Luke in the Bible. This is Chaplain Lynn Hansen saying, so long for now.
Thank you, Pastor Lynn, speaking to us from St. Paul, Minnesota. We will come back with Dr. Andrew and Clinical Chaplain Lynn Hansen next week. Please email us at info@lutheranradio.co.uk with comments you might have. At our website, lutheranradio.co.uk, you can find previous podcasts of this show. Find us under Program, and also take a look at our other shows. Goodbye, and until next time.
Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Check our program times online at lutheranradio.co.uk and stay tuned. All of our programs are broadcast on Greenwich Mean Time. Look up our website for the times in your region.